And then I brought the series to Instagram, and it went viral on Instagram. And then I brought the series to YouTube, and now it's going viral on YouTube.
From classics to curiosity, and where melodies meet meaning.
Desiree, it's good to be chatting with you. Welcome back. It's been a minute. Glad to catch up on, you know, things that have changed and developed since our last chat on here. Yeah, welcome. Welcome back.
Thanks. When was the last time we talked? Was it last year?
I feel like it was last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even looking back a year, it's like, man, so much has changed. A year doesn't feel like a year right now to me, at least.
No,
it doesn't. Like we're living many years within each year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like combination of like technology changing and then just the world changing around us. It just feels like we're moving fast.
Yeah, well, crazy. I mean, they do say the older you get, the faster time.
Okay, I wasn't trying to go there. But I guess it's a fact. We are all getting older one day at a time, like it or not. So here we are. Between that and what I said, technology and everything else, time's flying.
Yeah.
What it is.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know every time you're on, you share a lot of your wisdom and experience and, you know, things that you've learned over time with us. And it's great for artists coming up and, you know, doing their thing. Everyone's always battling with these ideas of like social media and all these other platforms that are coming up. It seems like every day almost, you know, where to put their time, where to put their money even, and just how to maneuver trying to balance, you know, being creative, building a career, and having this social presence. Even just thinking about the three of those at the same time almost makes me tired. So it's a lot, but you're doing really well at all of the above. So I want to kind of pick your brain on some things to do with that as well. I know you've built a really good social media presence and just brand overall for yourself. Is that some branding you got on there too?
Yes, that is my logo that I launched. Oh my gosh, it's been almost 5 years now since I launched this. Nice. I had a previous logo from before.
Okay.
But like I think I said in my last interview, my former management was like, yes, time to upgrade that logo. And I remember going to my graphic designer and saying, hey, I want to elevate this brand and I want it to represent who I am as an artist, as an educator, as a musician, and as a woman. So we came up with this concept together, and I launched merchandise under it in 2021. And I'm working on some stuff with the merchandise next year, going into next year and moving forward. So just stay tuned.
Brandy.
Stay tuned.
Yeah,
for that.
We will always stay tuned to see what's coming next. And that's just an example of it. I mean, it's there are things that you do that just kind of connect all the pieces together, I'm noticing, and it's important. But again, a struggle for people who are just trying to figure out where to start, what's important. And I know social media has been a big, you know, conversation piece the last years. So I want to ask you a little bit about that, because obviously at some point you started off with, you know, probably trying to figure things out and find your footing and see what would work for you. So when you started out, and we'll go back a little bit, like what were some of the things that you learned quickly and realized quickly as far as like what was going to work for you and, you know, keeping in line with what people want to see and want to see from you?
Well, I'm one of those artists that had to use social media as a vehicle to be seen, because earlier in my career, I wasn't getting performance opportunities because I'm bringing and doing something that's not really wasn't recognized in Canada at the time. And I was trying to not follow everybody else and kind of do my own thing. So when I recognized that I was going to have a uphill battle, I decided to turn to social media. And I was already uncomfortable with putting myself out there and putting my music out there, because for years I hid my talent from my parents, from my friends, so no one knew the extent of my talent at that point in time. But I realized that, okay, if I'm going to do this artist thing, I have to just be brave and put it out there, whether it's received or whether it's not received. And because I wasn't getting performance opportunities, I said, okay, well, I'm going to have to find a way to get my music out there and get people to know about Desiree D. So in addition to building my catalog, I started posting videos on social media. And I think I was just working with Facebook and Instagram. And I had YouTube, but I wasn't really pushing it as much.
Okay, okay.
So I focused first on Facebook. So I was posting videos on Facebook and posting in different groups, sharing myself in different groups. And then when I got Instagram in 2013, I think, I would cross-post. So I was already cross-posting before cross-posting was a thing. So this is when I say, like, I felt like I was ahead of my time, ahead of a lot of curves that came later on. And I would just post covers of myself. And I remember getting a DM from somebody that I knew, and they requested a song. And I was like, oh, maybe I should turn this into a series. So I turned it into a series called Cover Tuesdays, which everybody knows, that I ran for 4 years nonstop. And that day I made a commitment to post one video every week, every Tuesday. And I did it for 4 years. And that series grew into sub-series. So I did Cover Tuesdays. I did Cover Tuesdays for Christmas. I did Cover Tuesdays where I expanded and collaborated with different people around the world. I did Cover Tuesdays duo. And then I did, there was something else that I did as well too. And there was different themes that I had for my Cover Tuesdays. But that was earlier on in my career. So it was like 2017, 2021-ish. And in that time, I was taking producing more seriously. So with Cover Tuesdays, I also had a series called The Producing Chronicles. So I was kind of showcasing just my production abilities earlier on with different covers and doing different arrangements of different things. So I was kind of like testing the waters with different content ideas between that time frame. And then when COVID hit, that's when I really took my production to the next level. And I did a series called Daily Vibes, and I was posting videos like 3 times a week, and I came up with 200 songs that year. And a lot of the releases, and a lot of the, well, you know what? Everything was closed and I was home every day. So I was like, well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make good use of my time and really use this year to work on my production skills. Now, I'm self-taught. I have never taken a production class. I've never gone to no production school. I don't have a production certificate. Yeah. I'm a resourceful person, and I just learned to figure things out on my own. But also because I am a multi-instrumentalist as well too. So I don't just play piano, I play other instruments as well. So use that knowledge. And then I asked a couple people that I knew, like, can you help me with this? Do you know anything about this? And then everything else I kind of just figured out on my own. So, and that's the thing with social media. It's tough, but I always see it as a trial and error process.
Oh, interesting.
So you try something, if it doesn't work, okay, rework it. How can I rework this? Okay,
so you had some ideas that didn't work.
Tuesdays
was a success.
Of course, it was a success. And of course, I did a producing chronicles as well too.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was, you know, I tried it. It was cool for a little bit, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna dial it back and just focus on
How do you know what's a success, though? Is it just based on the feedback you're getting? Like, does it really come down to likes and views, or is there more that you're looking into it?
That's a part of it, but also things change. You know, I find that when I see something doing well, I'll tend to put other things on the back burner and focus solely on the thing that's doing really well. So that was kind of me when it came to social media. When I saw that Cover Tuesdays was doing really well, I focused a lot of my attention on it. And the other stuff was just kind of extra things, just be like, okay, well, I can do this, but let me try it out. And then when I saw that Cover Tuesdays was doing really well, I put all of my effort into that series, and that's why it lasted so long. But also, you have to understand that with social media, and even just on a personal level, you're evolving all the time and you're growing and your ideas are changing, right? Yeah. And once you also have to realize that once something has served its purpose, it's time to move on.
That's fair. Not always easy, though.
It's not.
People get attached to our ideas, and it's hard to let it go. It's like a little baby.
Yeah, and Cover Tuesdays was my baby. But yeah. I saw Cover Tuesdays as the launch pad for my four-chord worship series, which did extremely well. And I only did that series for, what, almost 3 years? So you never know what's going to happen. You're never going to know what's going to come out of a series that did really well. Obviously, Cover Tuesdays wasn't, like, blowing up numbers-wise. And I think sometimes that's the thing that discourages people as well, too. Well, it's not getting the likes. It's not getting the views. And sometimes you have to not focus so much on that and really focus more on the impact. And for me, Cover Tuesdays was a very impactful series. So, yes, it didn't have hundreds of thousands of views or millions of views, but for me, it had impact. It was impacting people. And people were like, why did you stop the series? Like, it was so good. But I understood at that point in my social media journey that when something has served its purpose, it's time to move on. And I was also evolving. Yeah. And changing as an artist. Because in 2021, that's when my music on digital streaming platforms was doing really well. So it was as Cover Tuesdays was ending and I was putting music out in 2021, I had a fantastic year with streaming numbers with my music.
Oh, look at that.
So sometimes what you do on social media translates into your music.
Other places, right? Like you're building an audience. And so that's interesting because you're talking basically 7 years of like focused series, right?
Well, I mean, now, Cover Tuesdays kind of came 3 years into my career, so I wasn't really, I was posting, and I didn't really have, like, a series, but I started, that was, like, the first.
That was the first series.
Thing that I started, but I had already been posting videos since 2013.
But then you went to the four-chord worship for another 3 years.
Yeah, so
somewhere along the line, you realized that this series concept was working. Because I noticed, I mean, I'm not big on social media, and it might be to my downfall eventually, who knows, but I don't know, I have help, I guess. However, I noticed that just in general, people have a hard time with a focus. Mm-hmm. Like even if it has nothing to do with social media, it's just not an easy thing to wrap your mind around, like locking into this idea, to this concept and following through on it, whether it's daily or weekly. That's tough. But I don't know if you saw this back then or if it's easier to see looking back. Or just for me to see from the outside, but just thinking that you had, you know, a 4 year series followed by a 3 year series, how deliberate was all of that or any of that?
Well, it goes back to the point that I made of like when something has served its purpose, it's served its purpose. I think that because Cover Tuesdays, I saw my fitting in terms of like having everything organized in a series. Number one, it's easier to plan. So if I'm focused on, okay, so this is the series that I'm doing, and I have a plan for how long I want the series to last for, right? Okay. Obviously, Cover Tuesdays was one of those things where I was constantly changing it. So it lasted a really long time because I had a lot of ideas with it. Because it started off as just posting different covers, and then I turned the covers into themes. So from the different decades. And then it turned into, oh, let me collaborate with different people. And then, oh, let me collaborate with one person, right? So it evolved over time. But then after a while, I was like, okay, I think this series is done now. Like, I don't know what else to do with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I did do some, like, production stuff in there as well.
Okay.
Because that was just teasing to see how people would react to, oh, Desiree produces, let's see what she does, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I realized like this concept of having a series for a set amount of time was working for me. And when we think of four chord worship, that idea came later on in 2022. So in between the time that I ended Cover Tuesdays and starting four chord worship, I was heavily focused on educational content. And I shifted my focus to TikTok because I had a friend at that time that said, hey, Desiree, you should go back on TikTok. And I wasn't really feeling TikTok during COVID. with all the different trending things, and I don't follow trends. I am a trend. So I wasn't really feeling the trend thing. I didn't really care. I kind of posted one and off, and I was focused on Instagram and Facebook at the time. And when she told me go back, I said, okay, fine, let me go back. I posted a cover of a song that I did early in 2022, and it blew up after 2 months to 150K. And I was like, oh, is this a, I thought it was a fluke. So I said, okay, let me try this. But what I noticed was the impact that it was having on people and the different questions, because I read my comments, and it's important to read the comments. And people were asking, can you do this? Can you show me this? Can you show me this? Can you show me this? And I realized, oh, I'm a teacher. Maybe I should start posting educational content. So I started doing different breakdowns of theory concepts, so like dominant sevens and major chords and shout music, which I don't do shout music, but I was like, people asked for it. So I said, I'm going to suck it up and just do it. And I had one of those videos blow up again, 123,000 views. And I was like, oh, okay, so this is working. So I was doing just little mini sub series and people liked it. And I was doing breakdowns, so I was providing the material for people. And then at the end of the year, I think I was doing a church service in early December, and I was just playing like four chords, and I kept playing the same four chords, and I was like, huh, this sounds like a series. So I went home and I recorded the first series, and I ended up calling it Four Chord Worship. And from there, I started the series on TikTok, and it blew up on TikTok. And then I brought the series to Instagram, and it went viral on Instagram. And then I brought the series to YouTube, and now it's going viral on YouTube. So
look at that. Wow.
It's interesting. I have a video on TikTok that has almost 750,000 views to date from that series. And that series, the very first video that I posted on, in the series, I posted on YouTube, and it has almost 500,000 on YouTube. It's the video that is literally driving my YouTube channel right now. And like I said, I was never posting really on YouTube until I started the Four Chord Worship series. That's when I started posting on YouTube again and being a little bit more consistent, because I understand that YouTube is a very difficult platform to break through. So I was like, okay, let me post these as shorts. Let me still post on Instagram. I was posting on Instagram for maybe, I want to say 6 or 7 months, and it went viral in November 2023. And it went viral for 3 months straight. So that means all the videos that I posted from November to January also went viral. So I had videos from like almost 400K top. And then I think the bottom end was like maybe 11,000. So it did really well. And I had like maybe 11 or 12 videos alone. Right? Wow. And then I said, okay, let me post on YouTube. Started posting on YouTube. Now, my YouTube channel didn't start blowing up until early this year.
Oh, this is the most recent.
The most recent. And I think I had maybe just over 2,000 subscribers on YouTube. And this is after having that channel for over 10 years. And for some reason, one of those videos in the series started just blowing up out of nowhere. And one day I logged in and I was like, oh, I think at the time I had almost 100K. And I was like, where did this come from? Just out of nowhere. It kept building and building and building and building and building to now it has almost 500,000 views, and I just hit 1 million lifetime views on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Well, congrats on that.
That's
big. That's really cool. That is really cool.
And that's crazy, because it's YouTube, again, is a very difficult platform, especially if you're not consistent on there. Like, it's very hard to pull numbers. But I said, okay, I already went viral on TikTok. I went viral on Instagram. Let's make YouTube happen. And it happened. And I have one video that it accounts for almost half of my lifetime views.
Oh, wow. So there's one.
And I have really other videos that are getting up there as well, too. So it's possible. Yeah. It took a long time, but I always say everything in its timing.
Yeah, and you put in a lot of work. You're consistent. You did a lot. So let me break a couple things down, because I want people listening to get something from this that they can apply to. Because it's, you know, for me, it seems like you get a lot of the same. Like, you're doing really well, and then you're like, I might have been listening, taking notes, saying, all right, Instagram's my thing. And then you start talking about TikTok. I'm like, no, scratch that. TikTok's my, and now it's YouTube. So then it's like, here's one question, because I know we can go all over with this, but as far as now posting and being active and engaging people on multiple platforms, how are you repurposing content? Like, is it the same, some of the same videos, right? Like, how do you approach using videos in multiple different ways on different platforms? Maybe that's something that can get people kind of started in this, thinking it through a bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know for me, I was posting the same video, but I would change up the captions and the hashtags. Okay. Yeah. I've also seen people post shorter clips of that and then direct them to the other platforms. I mean, I wasn't really doing that. It was kind of a buildup where, you know, I started that series on TikTok, and then I just decided, okay, let me start posting this on Instagram. But the thing is, with that series, I just was posting where I left off from TikTok. So there were videos that never made it. Videos that never made it to Instagram. Because what happened was, I was posting on TikTok, and then one day I decided I should probably be posting this on Instagram. So whatever the next set of videos were in line, I was posting on TikTok and Instagram at the same time. I just changed the captions. And then I continued the series. And then when it went viral on Instagram, I just kept posting on both, between Instagram and TikTok. And then I decided, okay, let me start posting these on YouTube. So again, wherever I left off, I posted on YouTube. And then what I ended up doing was, this year, I went back and I posted the videos that never made it. So the videos that I never posted on YouTube, I did a full batch post over 2 months on YouTube. I did the same thing on Instagram, and I did the same thing on TikTok. So whatever I didn't finish or I didn't start, so that I have a library across three ecosystems where all 170 videos are available across all three platforms, depending on what your flavor is. Now, that's cool. The thing with these platforms is they all serve a different purpose. Now, I see YouTube as kind of like the community-based platform, where it's going to get funneled regardless. And I also kind of see it as a legacy platform as well, too. Okay. TikTok is more short form, but now a lot of people are dropping longer content on TikTok, because you couldn't do that before. But now you can post a 10-minute video and people will actually watch it. But TikTok is an interesting one because their algorithms are changing all the time, where sometimes it's keep your videos at 10 to 15 seconds. Then it's, oh, you should start posting photos and be able to do a carousel, which Instagram was already doing. And then it's, no, we want you to post longer videos. So TikTok is one of those ones where you kind of just have to do what works for you. Because I noticed some of my view counts were low and I was like, what's happening? But they're like, oh, you have to engage in other people's content. So what brings you... At this point, I don't really care much about TikTok anymore because, you know, I already built a series and it's still funneling.
We're still watching
viewers.
Right?
People are still watching stuff. Yeah. So I don't really pay much attention to it. It's really, I'm focused on YouTube now, because now my YouTube channel is growing and I'm close to 10,000 subscribers now. Nice. And Facebook is also a legacy platform as well, too, but it's more catered to family. So if you go on people's Facebook pages, you'll see that they post a lot of stuff about their family and just like milestones and all that. So you have to kind of see what Facebook is, and they all serve a different purpose. Instagram is all over the place at this point. But I'm finding that a lot of people's content is like, make sure you have the captions. Put the captions. So if you're talking, make sure you have the captions in your video so people can read the captions. And now I think they just introduced multi-language captions as well, too. But I think that's an automatic thing. So if you do have captions, it will translate into
to wherever people are or whatever.
Yeah, I think so. I think I just saw that recently. Yeah, so you really have to study these platforms and kind of just post based on what it is. And I've kind of learned to do that over time. And I've just learned to, whatever content I come out, just make sure I post it on every platform.
Pretty much, right? Yeah, I guess that seems to be what it's come down to. And it looks like you got probably some, well, you didn't say, I'm imagining you must have gotten some spikes all around by going back and kind of catching up on what you hadn't posted before, right?
I did.
That probably
would have increased Instagram, I got spikes. Your, YouTube, yeah. I got spikes. TikTok, I mean, TikTok, it was the origin of yep. Fourth Chord Worship. So I think I was only missing two videos or three videos. So I just posted the three videos and just kept it moving. But my goal was to have this series available on all three platforms.
Yeah.
Obviously, Facebook is not in there because it kind of started on Facebook late. And because you can set your settings, so if whatever you post on Instagram posts is on Facebook.
Right?
Yeah, right? But it was really Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube that I wanted to have this series available. Because you have people who have their preferred social media platform.
Yeah, of right? course.
So you have
course,
people who only like YouTube, or they only like TikTok, or they only like Instagram. So YouTube. I said, okay, let me make sure that the series is available on all three platforms.
Makes sense. Yeah, you want to meet people where they are. I like YouTube because you can search for things. You can go directly to it. That is the way that I like to live my life. So I get it. A lot of people just like to scroll and come across things and have suggestions. I don't want none of that. I want to know exactly what I know what I'm looking for. I want to find that thing.
Yeah.
I want the four chord. Worship, blah, 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 D minor, whatever kind of progression. I want to find that come to me. So it's smart that you're reaching people because everybody's a little bit different in their approach to learning. And then I know social media is not only just learning, it's entertainment, inspiration, education, maybe some more. But I guess those are like the basic three categories of it. And again, making this practical for people listening. So let's say someone's just starting off on their social media. They have like, I don't know, 100 followers across all their platforms. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're expecting to get much further than that too quickly, but it's possible. But what would you give them as like a couple things to think about or like first steps in just starting to approach building platforms? Or maybe you say start with one. Like, what's your advice there?
Well, I mean, right now it's kind of hard to start with one. Because you have access to everything now. So I think before you even get started is decide what do you want your page, like what do you want people to get from your page? That's the first thing to think about. Like, what do you want to get? Like, if you're a musician, cool. What can you do that you're good at that's going to serve the greater good? Right? And yeah, no, seriously, because there's so much music content, but how are you going to, the thing you have to remember is you have to be able to stand out in a crowd of musicians because there's a lot of piano players, there's a lot of guitar players, and everybody, and everybody's doing the same thing. So how can you stick out?
It's true. That's a big,
right? And then the third thing you have to remember is you have to be consistent. So I say if you are going to plan to be a content creator, be prepared to be consistent because you can't just start and then stop. Okay. Unless you're taking a break. Because breaks, cool. Because I've had to take content breaks. I think, and what a lot of people didn't even notice is that there was 2 months where I didn't post Four Chord Worship. I took a break from the series. Mm-hmm. But I needed that content break because I had been posting nonstop for 10 years. So I didn't post. I didn't post for 2 months. I didn't post that series. Wow. And then I just popped back up randomly.
Wow.
I didn't tell anybody.
You had earned it.
But I did it. The thing. It's going to be tough in the beginning because it's going to be like, I have to do this. But you don't have to go big right away. Just choose one thing that you know you can keep up for multiple weeks. And just choose one day out of the week and say, I'm going to commit to posting this every Tuesday or every Monday or every Saturday. Yeah. And I'm just going to post it every week. Because that's the only way you're going to be seen is you have to be consistent. You can't just be post once and done and expect people to see it. Yeah.
And like pace yourself.
Yeah.
Because you might say, oh man, there's people saying you got to post 3 times a day and all this other stuff. And I don't know who can do that, but starting off, it seems like impossible. You're going to burn out. It's like running a marathon, but you start off full speed. It's like,
yeah, that's why it's interesting. Like when I go on TikTok and I see some of these creators say, oh, you got to post every day. No one has time for that. You're going to burn out after 2 weeks. Just going to tell you.
If you make it, yeah.
I know from experience because I tried that once and I was like, never again. Or you have those people who are like, you need to post 3 times a day. I said, yeah, no, I don't know about that. I think I'm going to burn out.
Eat 3 times a day, maybe, not post. That's nuts.
Yeah. But the key is to be consistent with little. And if you can really be consistent with little, then it will grow into much bigger. It's just like, I have to do this because I'm going to tie anything that I do back to my faith, where yes. If God can't trust you with little, he can't trust you with bigger.
Exactly.
Right?
That's a big one. Yep.
So if you can't be consistent with little, how do you expect to be consistent with bigger?
Oh.
And a lot of people miss that. You know, I got to do all these things all at once. I said, you're going to burn out after 1 month and then you're not going to be able to do anything.
And you won't learn the lessons either, right?
No, you don't. And it's trial and error. I tell people this all the time. There's no perfect, there's no perfect thing. And don't be afraid to pivot.
Right.
Yeah.
Done that very well.
I've pivoted so many times. I've had so many ideas. I've had scrambled with different ideas until I finally got something and I'm like, okay, good. I have my system in place. Now I can replicate the system into different things moving forward. But I mean, I'm not expecting it to take you 10 years like it did for me, but maybe it does.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it took me around that time to really see some traction on social media, especially, again, doing something unique. And that's the other thing, I'm not doing anything to follow the trends out there.
Right.
Because you will get lost in the sauce following the trends.
True.
Right? You have to stand out of the trends and you have to do something different if you want to get the traction that you're looking for. But you got to start small first.
True. All right, so let's jump away from social media. So are there any, do you do any other sort of marketing outside of social media, though? I mean, I know you have merchandise, so that kind of counts, but, outside of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I try my best, but honestly, social media is where I started, the majority of my marketing is on social media, but...
Okay.
And, of course, everybody will learn this, that... you can't do everything yourself.
That's a fact.
And I as an artist, I've done everything myself for a majority of my career.
Okay.
And I had to learn to be more trusting with delegation. And it's not easy. It's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
But also, what I realize is a lot of, habits that we pick up are due to whatever we dealt with in our childhoods, trauma, all of that stuff. So when I made a conscious decision to work on myself, I saw patterns break. My trust opened up a little bit, but I had to deal with myself. And a lot of people forget, hey, you gotta deal with yourself. If you want to really be successful in life, you have to deal with yourself. And if you're not willing to deal with yourself, you're not going to grow. You're not going to evolve. You're just going to stay stagnant where you are. And I had this sense of I need to control everything.
Yeah.
But I realized that I was stagnant. I wasn't growing the way that I wanted to because I'm trying to control everything. And you can only control what you do. You can't control what other people are doing. You can't control what people are saying. But if you keep holding on tight to everything, you're not going to grow. So I realized, I need to work on myself and figure out why I have these tendencies. So when I decided to go inward and work on myself, it translated outward.
Excellent.
And that's why you see the success that I have is because, number one, I worked on myself. Number two, I let go of control of everything. And I said, hey, God, I'm just going to leave it up to you. You do what you got to do. And I'm going to do what I need to do on my end. And you do what you got to do. Right. But it's a mindset. You have to know within yourself, hey, I need to go inward. And this is why you notice that some creators aren't really posting much these days anymore, because they realize I need to deal with myself. So I need to take a break.
A lot of, superficial and, others expect from you and all the giving. But if you don't go in, you're right. It's kind of, you're going to fall flat. Burn out. You're going to run into massive walls that you can't really get around until you face what it is, right? So
you have to. And
that's big.
Because I did that, my team started growing. So I didn't have to be Desiree who does it all anymore. I could delegate certain tasks to different people. So I have an artist consultant that I met in 2021 on Twitter.
Okay.
And she works with underrepresented artists and BIPOC artists. Nice. And we connected, and she deals with all of my administrative stuff, like EPKs, press kits, stuff that I don't have to worry about, so I can focus on other things. And I pay her to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
And I finally got to meet her last year in Germany. Nice. When I was out in Germany, because she's from
Germany. That's cool.
So it was nice for us to finally like connect. And then I said, okay, obviously I need to do more than social media marketing, because obviously with my music, I have to market outside of social media. So I have to connect with, you know, public relations and press and people who are in that category. Now, I don't know much, but I've been working with a team called Buzz Music since 2020. Okay. And they have been really good with writing about my music and just who I am as an artist and a musician. And they have been able to get me on different, you know, press websites and all of that. So I let them handle it. So anytime I have a music release, hey guys, can you do what you do?
Yeah, makes sense.
So that I don't have to do the push, because before I was the one researching and submitting, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I learned to, but the important thing is relationship.
That's what I was going to get to next. Yes.
Relationships. It wasn't just a one-off and then I just dashed people away. No, I actually stayed and I built the relationship. So every release, I went back to them. I liked the first one. I said, okay, what can you do with this release? And that's how I built my trust with them, to be like, hey, you guys deal with it and I'll pay you.
That
was tough for me at one point to do. But now I can do that, because I said, you have to open it up. You have to open up and just let people do and see.
Yeah.
Right? Let them prove themselves to you. Right? And they proved themselves over a course of 5 years. And I trusted them enough to be like, hey, this is my next release. Do what you must.
Yeah.
Right? So now I have public relations on that side, music-wise.
Yeah.
Now, also because I'm a content creator, I also have PR on that side, where I think I posted this earlier this year, where I became an influencer with Orange Model Management. Now, they're a management they're a model management company, but they opened an influencer division and they asked me to be part. So now I'm part of that. So anything lifestyle brand, they fight for me behind the scenes. So I don't have to do it, right? I don't know if you saw social media recently, and people will probably see this, that I got chosen to do an international campaign with Western Union.
I'd not heard that one, please.
Yeah, I just posted it on. It just posted this week. I wasn't allowed to say anything because NDA. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I got chosen to do a international campaign with Western Union. And that's currently circulating right now. So, but again, that was thanks to Orange Model Management.
All of these relationships.
And a result of those relationships and a result of all the work that I've been doing, right?
Yes, so of course.
There's so many tiers,
little pieces, like little all these pieces nuances, that are moving
together, right? But for me, it was like, okay, I don't want to have to do these things where I'm reaching out to these brands anymore, because it's a lot of work, and I don't necessarily have the connections. So if I can connect with people who have the connections, I'm just gonna let them funnel it, right? And then even on the music side, I have a co-producer who helps me with my music. So it's working smarter and not harder.
And you can get more done, and you're building a team, and people are working to their strengths too, because I know as a do-it-yourselfer, you have to figure everything out, which you can do, but it's at the cost of your time and everything else. And it's hard because you say, you know what, why would I pay someone to do the thing that I can figure out and do myself? Now I have to lose money and I lose control. But I've learned that ultimately that's really the way to go, is to empower the people who you can count on to get it done, and they'll get it done better than you could.
But also it's an investment.
It has to be.
That's the thing that people don't realize. I said, yes, you can do everything yourself, and you can only do that for so long, but you have to now invest money, time, You have to invest in yourself. So if you want to get to the next level, you have to let go of the reins and you have to let go of control and you have to now bring in people. Now I'm not telling you to bring in whoever. Whoever. You have to vet people, right? Which is what I did. And I built relationships with people over time.
Yeah.
And not only that, you have to choose people that align with your vision and align with where you are and where you're going. So you don't just hire any and anybody. You have to hire people that understand your vision. And there's people that you can work with. And yeah, they're good, but do they align with where you are at and where you are going? Can they see the bigger picture outside of the now?
Yeah.
And that's important as well, too.
That's huge. That's really big. So this is good. This is a good point we're on right here. So now, again, thinking backwards a little bit too, there's this also another balance here. Like, when is the time to bring others on? So you have your vision. You're working your butt off. You're tying yourself out. You're making some traction. And it's like, it's that crucial point where it's like, you know, like, how did you come to say now's a good time to start bringing other people on and start letting other people in to help me with this next leg of the journey?
Well, I know for me, when my visibility started growing to where it is, and even before, because I've been with Buzz Music before I started blowing up.
Okay.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be when you start blowing up. You could start earlier than that. Because even with my relationships with my artist consultant and my my co-producer and Buzz Music, like, Buzz Music has been with me from pretty much day one, right? Yeah. And it's just, you know, now that relationship has expanded because they've realized, like, we've been with her for such a long time. We want to stay put.
Gotcha.
And we want to help continue to build her legacy and build on her vision. That's because big. They recognize that, whoa, she's got something here.
Something there, yeah.
So sometimes it's, you know, the people who have been paying attention for so long, they're like, oh, we want to stick around. We want to help you get to where you need to, because you know, they understand, like, we have the resources to help you get to this next stage. Sometimes that's how it happens. Now, if it doesn't happen for you like that, I mean, it's an overtime thing where you have to just learn to build the trust. And if you like what that person is doing for you, you just kind of maintain that relationship until, you know, if your visibility starts growing. And then if they decide, like, hey, we want to stick around, cool. If that means you have to pivot. But pivot responsibly.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't want to be all over the place. You know? Yeah. So yeah, that's good. And on this relationship piece, because it's huge. It's really, I believe, it's really everything in life. It's how you treat people, around you. It's, you know, it's huge. You've done really well at this too, and you talked about alignment and, you know, working with people that align with you. I mean, that also would expand to, you know, in different realms of this space that we're in. So companies also that align with your values and all of that good stuff. And as musicians and artists and, you know, different forms of creators, people are always chasing the dream of being able to work with, like, bigger companies, the ones that are known, the ones that are kind of getting talked about on social. How have you approached that? Because I know that you've definitely aligned with some, not only great musicians in your collaborations, but some companies as well. What's it been like? Like, how do those come about? Or what kind of work does it take for you to reach people and people to reach you directly? Is that social media again, or is there more to it?
Social media does play a part in it, as well as relationships. And then also, sometimes within those relationships, you don't know who those people know.
It's true, too.
Which was the case with me. Like, I knew, I'm not going to get certain opportunities because just of who I am and what I do, which I realized early. So I said, okay, let's build social media. So, and this goes back to my point where I said that I'm ahead of my time, because a lot of the things that people are doing now, I've been doing.
Yeah.
So it was just realizing, like, okay, well, if I'm not going to make it yet as the performer doing all these big shows, I have to find another way to do it. So social media was my thing. So I built my social media page. And I realized that a lot of these companies look at social media. It might not have been like that in the past, but it is now, where that's probably one of the places they're looking, is social media. And I'll speak to the current endorsements that I have. And again, these are because of social media and because of relationships. Okay. And with Yamaha specifically, Yamaha, well, even before I say Yamaha, I've always wanted to, you know, be endorsed by piano companies. And I felt like, okay, well, I'm on my way there. I may not be there yet, but I'm on my way. Right. Because this was early in my career. I think I was maybe 4 years in. Okay. So I realized, okay, I probably don't have the resume yet, but this is something that I want to work towards. But I said, let me prepare myself ahead of time and write the pitch. So I wrote my pitch and I shelved it. I shelved it for a few years and I kept working. I kept grinding. So when the moment came, I was ready. And a lot of people, they want the opportunities, but they don't prepare themselves ahead of time. True. Right? You say you want to be endorsed by Yamaha or Nord or Korg or Hammond or this company and this company. Number one, have you done the research on that company? Do you know that company's values? Did those companies' values align with you? Why are you doing it? Because a lot of people just do it just for the sake of doing it, but...
Why is that?
Then those relationships don't last, because you're doing it for the wrong reasons, and then it doesn't align with where you are. Because I've seen people end up leaving companies.
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you have to know what that company stands for, and does their vision move, like their vision moving forward, does it align with where you are going? You know, now Yamaha at the time aligned with me because they were making waves, and that's something that I'm doing. So that initially was like, okay, I want to do that. But also I noticed that there was a lack of representation of my people in there as well, because I knew that because I did my research.
Right.
And it's important to do the research, right? Yeah. But also these companies are weird sometimes, you know, right? But this is why you got to do your homework.
Yeah.
So I did my homework on all these companies. I saw the types of artists that they had. I was looking for diversity. I was looking for inclusion. I was looking for representation. And I was like, I noticed the gaps. I noticed the lack thereof. Yeah. And I was like, okay, do I fit this gap? Does their vision align with me? And can I fit that gap?
Yeah.
That's missing. Right. Now, Yamaha obviously was on my radar, and I don't think I sent anything in at the time. So I kind of just had that pitch. Actually, I had the pitch written for Nord, because Nord was who I was going after first initially. Okay. And I remember sending something before I sent it to Yamaha. And I know the process in Canada is very interesting when it comes to Nord. They sent me a package and I had to fill the package and send it back out. Never heard anything for a while. So I was like, okay, cool. No problem. Yeah. I ended up doing something in Ajax and I met a lady there and we were just talking about music, and just out of the blue, she said her husband worked at Yamaha. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why you're telling me this, but okay, cool. Anyways, I got home that evening and she messaged me and sent me her husband's information and said to email him. And she didn't know that I was actively pursuing endorsements. So sometimes it happens like that, where it's just you talk and people recognize and they want to help you. Sometimes it's that. Right. Or in the case of my endorsements with Hammond Organ and Juicy Ears, that was because of relationship. Now, most people, if they don't know, they should know this now that I have a long standing friendship with Mike Brill.
Okay.
And, we met during COVID. Before COVID, actually, I should say. Before COVID. And this was a result of social media again.
Like virtually. Like right? Online.
Where he saw one of my videos on social media. Must have came up for him. And he liked it. And then somebody from Toronto recognized the name and commented that he liked it. Now, I didn't know him to the extent of who he was, I didn't know until I did my research and I looked him up. And I was like, oh, you big.
Yeah.
So and the conversation didn't just happen right away. It was kind of just like a progression, and then he messaged me out of the blue, and we had a conversation, and we built a friendship from just from there, and just like from mutual, and he was, you know, just commending me on the work that I've been doing and stuff like that. And I remember on one of my trips to LA, he, cause he lives in LA, and we got to like meet up and connect and all of that. So that was great. And when I was going to NAMM, I saw him. That was the first time I went to NAMM. And he would always say like, you know, you got to go on the last day. You got to go on the last day because that's where, you know, you get all the connections. And I was like, okay, I wasn't even planning on going the last day. And he's like, no, you have to come. I'll come pick you up wherever you are. I'll pick you up. So he picked me up. He drove me down to NAMM. And we were just in the car having a conversation. I was talking about the headphones that I was using. I think I was using Shure at the time. And he was like, no, you gotta go check out the company that I'm with. They're called Juicy Ears. I was like, okay, cool. He's like, matter of fact, I'll bring you there. So he brought me to the booth, and I got to talk to the CEO, and he was just raving about me. And he was like, yeah, you need to do something. He's like, no, endorse her. They endorsed me right on the spot. So a lot. And then the same thing happened with him in Oregon, where I went over and I got to meet Kim Tibbs, who's an amazing organ player. And she's like, yeah, we need more of us in this, because she realized that there was a lack. And I got to talk to the guy who's in charge of that. And he sent me his phone number and said, send me your stuff. And they had my picture on the screen. Save me. But again, this is a result of the work.
Right.
This is why I tell people, I'm like, you have to do the work, but also relationship. I stress relationships. I also stress good character. I also stress kindness. Kill them with kindness. Treat people the way you want to be treated, because people will always remember what you did for them and not what you do. They will remember how you treated them before they remember your talent.
And people
think that they can, you know, go through the music industry just based off their talent alone. No, people talk.
Not enough. Yeah, it's so
people
true.
People talk. And these circles, they're not as big as you think they are. And you'd be surprised who certain people know. And it's important to treat people with kindness and build relationships, and don't just use people and just only be an opportunist.
Say that again. Yeah.
Don't use people and don't be an opportunist. I will say it because it's the truth. Don't be a user and don't be an opportunist. But also have integrity. Please have some integrity, because that's important as well. If you really want to be successful, you have to, like, sometimes you have to take self out of it.
No, you're right.
You have to take self out of it, not just what can you get. How can you be of service, like, you know, building relationships with these people and having long-standing relationships, you know, because it's important. You treat it like a friendship, you know, like you check in, but you don't just check in because you need something, but you genuinely check in. How are you doing? Like, I really want to maintain this relationship.
Yeah. That makes sense. You know? It's not just a transaction.
Yeah.
A lot more to it. This is key. I mean, I want to just ask you a couple more things here. I know you've gone through a lot. There's tons of people to learn, but you're doing a lot of cool things. I don't even think you've got to some of the newer ones, at least. So in the last little while, you got to tell me about this, because there's some things here. So you were nominated for a Grammy.
Well, I wasn't nominated.
Okay.
I was Grammy considered.
Okay. Whatever. It's okay. You got the word Grammy in there.
But
you
the thing is, like,
considered for a Grammy.
I was, yeah.
Okay. Break that down.
Okay. So in 2024, I became a Grammy voting member. Now, people ask, can I vote? Can I vote? I said, no, you have to be a voting member to be able to vote in the body. So, and there's a process for that as well, too, right? Mm. And again, you also have to have a resume backing your name.
Can't just
and
say
social media. Also part of it, too, because they want to see that you're active. That's why I keep saying, like, social media is, as much as I don't like it, it has helped me get where I am in my career.
It's big. I can't deny it. I cannot deny it.
Right? And so I'm not going to explain the process because it's a really long process.
It's too, okay.
I don't have time. But once I became a member, I can now submit my own music.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's a process to even that step.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. So as once you become a voting member, you can submit your music and you have 5 complimentary entries.
Okay.
Right. And then after the 5, I think there's a fee depending on the time frame.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It ranges in price between $40 and $120 US.
Gotcha. So, okay.
So the first year that I became a member, I did not submit. And that was because my album Adventure came out after the eligibility period. So this is the thing. You have to know the eligibility period in order to make sure that you're able to submit. And you have to check, right? So I already knew off the bat that that album was not going to be submitted because it came out after the eligibility period.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing. Before I even became a member, the eligibility period was the end of September. Okay. And then they changed it just as I was getting ready to like put my album out. They pushed it back to August. So the eligibility period was, I believe it was August 31st to September 30th. That's what it was before. Yeah. And that's when I first entered the Academy. That's what it was. But then as I was working on the album, they released like a press statement saying that they changed the eligibility period to August 30th. And I was like, rats. But hey, the album was already scheduled to come out on my birthday and I wasn't changing it.
Yeah, so that was.
So I said, okay, fine. I guess I'll just have to submit this next year. Yep. And it's funny, once like voting season came up, people were messaging me. They're like, hey, like, we noticed you joined the Academy. Do you have anything up for consideration? And I said, no, not this year. But here's my project anyways.
Yeah.
So I still shared the project with people, even though I wasn't. Yeah, I did submit that year.
Okay, cool.
So fast forward, I got to vote in my first Grammys, and it was a very interesting process. I didn't know all the things then that I do now.
Okay.
As pertaining to voting and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Okay. I kind of just went in and I just voted for whoever. And I also voted for some of the people that I knew.
Yeah.
And I just kept it moving. Now, if I knew what I knew now last year, I probably would have voted differently.
Oh, really?
But it's okay because Grammys happened and I was very happy with how the Grammys turned out last year. Okay. So I said, cool, no problem.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward to 2025. Now I'm getting ready to submit my album. And I had a friend who won their first Grammy this past cycle. And they kind of gave me just like advice and some tips and stuff to remember and whatnot. Now, I don't live in my current Grammy chapter, which is in New York. So I had to do some heavy lifting on my own. So that was like, again, social media. I use social media to really like push, but I had to do some research on there to try and find out who's in the Academy. And I use the hashtags to find different people and reach out. Okay. And there are people that I had met last year and I was like, hey, like, this is my project. These are the categories that I'm submitting for consideration, blah, 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 blah. And I had somebody reach out and say, I know people who are voting in this category. Give me your details. I was like, okay, so I'm getting some traction. I'm getting some help. And he was like, well, you're going to have to get the rest of your votes on your own. I said, no problem. Let me get to work.
Yeah.
So, and then I made my 4-year consideration. Now, people keep asking, like, what is that? I keep seeing it everywhere. So essentially what it is your like pitch to all the Academy members to consider your project when they're voting in first round.
Okay.
Gotcha. So when you see all those 4-year consideration and then people are listing the categories that they've submitted for, right?
Okay.
That's what that's about. So it's basically a campaign.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you're campaigning and reaching out to, you know, voting members to consider your project when they're voting.
Okay.
So that's makes what that sense. Is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did that. And some people get really fancy. Some people have flyers. Some people have websites. Some people do a whole email blast and spend money and all of that. It's a serious thing. Now, obviously, I did not have the budget because again, okay. I didn't know all this stuff, right?
You're learning, yeah.
I'm learning, right? This is my second year as a voting member, but my first year submitting as an artist. So I'm learning. Okay. So in the future, I know what to do. So it was a huge learning curve for me, but I had to obviously fill out all the information to submit. And then it's the academy who reaches back out to you to finalize your categories. Because what's happening is there are voting committees that are listening to your projects. And sometimes they may find that your project or song is better suited in a different category. And it will get switched, which is what happened to a lot of people this year. And there was a lot of controversy about it as well. And the fact that the timing and the unfair advantage, and also there was scrutiny behind who is actually making these decisions and do they have the ability to make these decisions in terms of people's projects. I'm not sure if you watched, there was a video that Major, who posted, I guess, speaking out to the Grammys about the process of, you know, how these committees are deciding where to put people's stuff, because people could submit their stuff for one category and then find out it gets switched. And you're trying to figure out, well, a lot of these categories have requirements, right? And it's like you fit the requirements and then you find out days before voting happens that your categories got switched after you spent all this time and money, you know, campaigning for these categories to find out you got switched last minute. And I think that he was speaking towards that. And it happened to me. It happened to me. It happened to me as well too. But in the sense that I submitted to two album categories, but realized I wasn't allowed to do that. So here's the thing with the Grammys is set up where there's different fields. So there's 11 fields. And there's a heading for each field. Now, apparently, in each of those fields, you can only choose, like, one album category. But I did multiple, but I didn't realize at the time. So instead of having one committee listen to my project, I had two committees listen to my project. And they ultimately decided to put it where they decided to put it. So I said, fine, no problem. But the thing is, with that, it's the timing, it's who's doing it, and the fact that it's unfair. You know what I mean? And they already made changes because the voting process was unfair because all the submissions were put in alphabetical order for voting, so people wouldn't go through. So they randomized all of people's names. But even if you do that, people can still do the search bar and search for who they want. So is it really fair? You know what I mean? But again, this is what it is, the Grammy season. But anyways, I got the confirmation that my album was considered. So it showed up on the initial voting ballot. Now, that's a huge deal for somebody like me who is independent. I've never had to rely on a industry cosign. I've never had to rely on a label backing me. I did everything myself out of my own pocket, out of my own money. To even get to this stage in my career is huge. So exactly. Even though I did not get the nomination, I am not worried, because even just to reach this Grammy stage is a big deal. And I know my time is coming, so I'm not concerned. Yeah. There were people who reached out to me and they said they were upset that I wasn't nominated. And I was like, listen, man, I'm just happy that I was even considered.
It's a big deal. And it's a part of your journey, and you're learning constantly, right? Mm-hmm. So we will stay tuned. We will stay tuned to see what comes from, you know, this new chapter. But you are doing, like, there's a mentorship program.
Yes. Yeah, so obviously, like, I consider myself to be an artist educator. So yes. I submitted for the Grammy mentorship program. Because I had also, like, I have a background of mentorship through Soundcheck Youth, Marigold Music Program, and Women in Music Canada. I did the mentorship program with them as well, too. So I submitted.
Nice.
And I got accepted. So I'm an official Grammy U mentor, and I will be mentoring a up-and-coming artist from my chapter in New York. So I'm excited. Very cool. It's starting now, but my first session is in December, so...
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's neat. So there's, you know, I mean, there's all these layers of just different things as you go through this. It's yeah. it's cool. I'm sure you're learning tons every day.
Every day I'm learning something. I mean, and I think that there's this thing with the Grammys that people think that is just about voting, and they don't realize that there's a lot more to the Grammys than what meets the eye. Because when they hear Grammys, they hear, oh, well, it's, you know, it's just voting. I said, no, there's a lot of ways for you to get involved. Like, they have a peer networking program where you can connect with different people in the Grammy network, in your chapter. They have events. They have Advocacy Day where you get to go in and you actually get to talk to political leaders about rights for musicians. Like, it's actually a big deal. And then they have, like, charities. You can donate money and to the work of, you know, getting more awareness for musicians and stuff like that. There's so many things. So it's not just about voting. Yeah. There's a lot of ways for you to get involved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. Well, I look forward to hearing, you know, the continue things you're working on, the journey. I mean, what's next? Do you have, I mean, we're about to hit a new year. Anything that we should look out for, or should we just stay tuned?
Well, I mean, I just released my Christmas EP, the second half of Moments of Christmas, earlier this month. And my show is coming up, Moments of Christmas, live on Saturday, November 29th. So come out if you're not doing anything. It's going to be a great show. I'm going to be playing songs from both Movement 1 and Movement 2. There'll be prizes, there'll be giveaways. I'm featuring a couple of Toronto vocalists, and there's also a community portion to it as well, too, where a portion of ticket sales are going to a local food bank, and also asking attendees to bring a non-perishable food item. Community is really important to me, and giving back is really important to me, and it's something that my parents always instilled in me as a kid. I use that show, which happens every other year, so it's not a annual show, it's an every other year show, to give back to the community. So
love it. Amazing. I mean, thanks so much. You've shared so much of, you know, your journey, but also advice and experiences that are super useful to probably anybody at any stage of their career as an artist, performer, creator. Really useful stuff. So thank you for that. Thank you for having the heart to not only continue and, you know, push yourself, but also bring people along with you any way that you can. It's needed. It's needed. It's a great example. Oh, before I say bye, let people know where to find you. I know you said your name, but just shout out your socials or, you know, direct contact information for how people can reach you online.
Yeah, well, you can reach me on all social media platforms at Desiree D Music. So that's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Those are the ones that I'm the most active on. And then, of course, you can check out all of my music under Desiree D on all digital streaming platforms. Or you can just do a Google search for Desiree D.
That always
Everything
works,
will
right?
pop up.
All pop up right there. Keep it simple.
And if you're interested in coming to the show, just check out my socials and get yourself a ticket. You can get tickets on Eventbrite, or you can come to the venue and buy tickets at the door.
Nice. The 29th.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for your time once again. And looking forward to hearing a lot more from you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay, you've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music, that's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.
As a podcaster, you know that great content is only half the battle. The other half is finding the right hosting platform to reach your audience. That's where Captivate comes in. With unlimited podcasts, advanced analytics, and personalized support, Captivate has everything you need to grow your audience and monetize your show. Join the thousands of successful podcasters just like us who trust Captivate for their hosting needs. Visit dnaairwaves.com/captivate today to start your free trial.